Where art thou? No, we're not going Shakespearean today, nor are we discussing Romeo and Juliet. But as you turn to Genesis chapter 3, we're going to investigate the first recorded question spoken by God. We're going to see if there are any applications to us. Let us first turn to our text and see the application to those who were asked that question. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And when they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. The Lord had planted a beautiful garden in Eden, and there he had placed his creation, Adam and Eve. While they were in the garden, everything that they could possibly need was provided for them. It was, in fact, a utopia, a perfect place here on earth. Everything that they needed was provided. They had no cares. They had no wants. They had no desires. But what those things would be given to them. But they were given one restraint. We find this in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 17. It's that passage to which Eve had already alluded when the first question that is found in the Bible is asked. Interestingly enough, that first question was asked by Satan. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. It has been remarked upon, and I think it bears being done so again, that the death that they would experience would not be that of a physical nature. They would not, upon eating the fruit that was in the midst, or the trees of the midst of the garden, would not immediately take the fruit, and it would not act as though it were poisoned. Their bodies would not cease to function, but yet they would die. Satan had twisted God's word and deceived Eve to eat from that tree. And she got Adam to follow. Upon eating from the tree, their eyes were opened and they realized that they were naked. And now we do not know how much time had expired from the time that they were put into the garden until such time as they ate of the fruit. But during all of that time, they were naked and they knew it not. But when their eyes were open, they knew it. So according to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9, they decided to hide themselves. And they hid themselves from God. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, Where art thou? Now, this also would be the same thing as saying, Where are you? Oftentimes when we're looking for someone, we hear a voice and we'll say, Where are you? Linda will call to me from one part of the house, and I'll stick my head into a room and say, Where are you? Well, I'm right here. I might not have been looking in the right corner. But this question to Adam is God's first recorded question in the Bible, and it was a relevant question of tremendous importance. It was something that needed to be answered. The question was asked by God, who had walked and talked with Adam and Eve before, and from whom they now try to hide themselves. He was their creator, the all-knowing, the all-seeing Jehovah. Why then would he need to ask such a question? Know that when he asked that question, "Where art thou?" he knew exactly where they were. He knew exactly what they were doing. He knew exactly what they had done and why they were hiding themselves. Then why ask the question? Well, as we turn to Psalms chapter 139, verses 1 through 7, we'll see some insight into this. The psalmist, of course, was given these words by the Spirit. It says, "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsetting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Adam and Eve had not yet learned that you cannot hide from God. The psalmist knew it. He was told it by the Spirit. But try as they might, they could not hide from God. He knew where they were. Again, if the Lord knew where Adam and Eve were, why did he ask? God did not ask this question for his own sake. He asked it for the sake of Adam and Eve. He wanted them to realize not only where they were, but also why they were there. Remember, Eve had no problem whatsoever when the Satan, being subtle as he was, asked the question to her, responding properly, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." She knew how to respond. These folks were now separated from God and hiding from the fellowship of God in shame because of their sin. The question was asked by God so that they might realize this. God's first question recorded in the Bible is still relevant today. It's still an important question today. God is still asking, "Where art thou?" He asked the question of you and me. Know that he knows the answer. Now, how will you respond? I want to ask a few questions this morning that God might ask. Knowing the answer, knowing our hearts, knowing the intent of our hearts, and yet he will still ask the question, but how will you respond? Number one, where art thou with respect to salvation? It's a relevant question. If you are of age to know right from wrong, then you have transgressed the law of God and have sinned. Romans 3:23 clearly points this out. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need to understand that because of this, salvation is needed. Where are you? God asks. Again, he knows. Are you trying to hide from God? Behind your sin? Behind your shame? Try as you might, you will never hide from God, just as Adam and Eve could not hide from God. God knew where they were, knew what they had done, and why they had done it. Do you really understand just where you are as a sinner? That's why a person is to look inward upon themselves, to compare themselves with the Word of God, to see if they have done those things that the Word of God teaches so that one might be saved. You're really not hiding. If you've not done those things that God has said to do relative to salvation, you're not really hiding. You're just lost, wandering, and headed for eternal destruction. There are many in the world that are in such state. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Jesus declared the purpose for which he came to earth and to give his life. It was not that so that men might know what they were doing wrong. It was so that people might know what to do that is right. He says, for the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. We commented this morning in our Bible class that it is impossible to save one who thinks he's already saved. To get one to admit that they need Jesus Christ, that they need to obey the gospel when they think they have already done so. But notice what Jesus did. He gave up everything to look for you. There's a lot more said in verse 10 of chapter 19 in Luke than just what is there on the surface. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which is lost. Notice what it does say. He came. He left the glories of heaven, there where he was with his Father. Emptied himself, became as a man, suffered all the pain and suffering that this world has to offer to seek and save that which is lost. In other words, he gave up everything. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8, we find a passage written to the Philippian brethren as Paul was guided by the Spirit, speaking of Jesus Christ, said, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God? But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a serpent and was made a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now it was enough that Jesus Christ should come to live on this earth and to die. But he came to die upon the cross, the most cruel death that man has ever devised. If you understand this morning that you are a sinner, it is time to come out from hiding, to be found by Jesus Christ, by hearing his word, by doing those things that are contained within his word, and being obedient to him in faith and in baptism. We could spend the entirety of our time here this morning on that one question. And no doubt there are those that need it. But there are other questions that we might ask. Where art thou when the saints assemble? When the saints assemble together on Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday night, and during gospel meetings to worship and to study God's word, where art thou? Remember, God knows who you are, where you are, and when you're not meeting with other saints. He sees each and every person who professes to be a Christian, who is sitting at home watching TV, who is out bowling, who is out playing golf, who is fishing, who is doing whatever they want to do when they should be gathered with the saints. Remember, there is absolutely nothing more important than our relationship with God. In Psalms 139, verse 7, the psalmist asked the question, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? We cannot escape God. We cannot hide from God. We cannot cover ourselves up so that the sin is not there. In John chapter 20 and verse 19, we're going to find out that one of the apostles was not in attendance when the disciples gathered themselves together. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. Notice, if you will, what was going on here. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, the disciples were assembled. They had the doors closed. They were doing so somewhat secretly for fear of the Jews, but they were gathered upon the first day of the week in the evening. There are those today that are promoting the idea that it's not necessary to meet on Sunday evening. I will admit readily that it is not commanded to meet on Sunday evening. But I will also at the same time readily admit that if you look at all the hours that were given in a week's time, and you look at it in comparison to the 4 hours that we gather ourselves together to worship, to study, to do those things commanded by God, that we just give God the bare minimum. In these verses, the disciples were assembled together on Sunday evening, except for Thomas. We are not told where Thomas was, but we know where he was not. He was not with the disciples. He was not gathered with them. And it may very well be that there were some circumstances beyond his control in which he could not be there. God understands these. But in his absence, he missed a number of things. He missed fellowship with his disciples, or with the other disciples. He missed being with them, together, collectively, serving God, worshiping God. He missed the encouragement and shared faith. It reminds me of those who were once faithful members of the Lord's church and then they occasionally miss a service. And then it gets to the point where they occasionally go to a service. And then it gets to the point that they never go. Above all, he missed having fellowship with the Lord. There are those who would like to promote the idea that you can have fellowship with God separate and apart from the church, and well, you should, but not exclusively. There was one fellow who said one time he was closest to God when he was with his cows. But we need fellowship with the Lord, and we need the encouragement and shared faith and the fellowship that we have with other disciples. How many of us have not been lifted up when coming together with brethren who love the Lord, those of like precious faith? We're encouraged. And that's what we're supposed to be. Fortunately, the next Sunday, Thomas came out from hiding from the assembly of the disciples and was present with them when Jesus appeared again. Will you come out of your hiding place tonight? And next Sunday night and Wednesday, when the body gathers to worship and to serve? Thirdly, where art thou when there is work to be done? The Lord told the prophet Jonah that he had a job for him. This job was to go and preach to the city of Nineveh. For those who do not know the story, Nineveh was not a city of the Jews. It was people that God had recognized needed to repent. And so God said, Jonah, I want you to get up and I want you to go to Nineveh and I want you to preach to these people that they repent. Turn to Jonah, chapter 1 and verse 3. We'll see his reaction. We'll see his reaction immediately. What he did. It says, but Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Oh, Jonah was trying to pull the old Adam and Eve disappearing act on the Lord, wasn't he? He said, I'm just going to go and I'm going to hide. I'm going to go down in the bottom of a boat and I'm going to go someplace where God won't know where I am. Guess what? He was just as unsuccessful as Adam and Eve. God knew where he was the whole time. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was thinking. In fact, when the time came for it to be revealed as to who it was, everybody on the boat knew who it was because Jonah himself told them, it's because of me that this storm is upon you. He learned a hard lesson. They heaved him over the side. The Lord had prepared a great fish for him. And this fish swallowed him. You can't run away or hide from the Lord. You can't run away or hide from the Lord and the work that he has for us to do. Notice, if you will, the change in Jonah. It wasn't complete. After 3 days, this fish vomited him upon the land, and he made a beeline for Nineveh. Wasn't happy about it, but he did it. And because of his preaching, Nineveh repented. Oh, no, Jonah sat back and decided to wait and see what God would do with it. His focus needed to be upon himself. Are you running and hiding as Jonah and Adam and Eve had done? It won't work. When the building needs to be cleaned, the repairs need to be done, where art thou? When it comes time to make a contribution for the work of the Lord, whether by putting in your money or putting forth labor, where art thou? When visiting and teaching needs to be done, where are you? It's truly amazing how quickly people disappear when the Lord's work needs to be done. You can hide from your brethren. Pretty easy to do at times. You can see them come and duck around the corner, get in your car and take off the other way. I've seen it done. You can even try to justify yourself, but you will never be able to run away or to hide from God when His work needs to be done. Where art thou? Where art thou on the day of judgment? A question we all need to ask ourselves. Where are you when the day of the judgment comes? We may have already passed from this life. We may be long forgotten in this world. But we're not forgotten by God. Turn to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. We need to realize and understand that at the great judgment there will be a separation. A separating of the souls of those who were willing to do what God wanted done and those who tried to hide and not do what God wanted done. Will you be on the left hand of the Lord ready to go into everlasting fire? Or will you be on the right hand of the Lord, ready to go into heaven? On the left hand, we see in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, "Then shall he say also to them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." What a sad, sad situation. You spend your whole life hiding from God, deceiving yourself, and you spend eternity separated from God. Is that what you want? What about to those on the right? In verse 34 of Matthew chapter 25, we see a different saying, a different reaction. "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Where you were with respect to salvation when the saints assembled, and when there was work to be done, will determine where you will be on the day of judgment. Sadly, many will be in the same place that they have been for all of their lives, trying to hide from God, trying to get by, trying to do as little as they can, or to do nothing. Those who spent this life hiding from God in sin and darkness will spend eternity separated from God in shame in the farthest reaches of darkness. Where art thou? It is time to stop trying to hide from God because it cannot be done. All one ends up doing is hiding from themselves and from reality. Think, if you will, if you have some sort of medical condition. The doctor tells you you have this medical condition and that you're going to die. And so immediately you say to yourself, "No, I'm good. I feel great. I have no problems." You can delude yourself into thinking that you're okay. But when your body starts to fail, the truth is exposed. You've hidden yourself from yourself and from reality. You can do that for a little while here on this earth, but you cannot do that before God. Come out into the light of God's salvation. Be present when the saints assemble. Be available when the work needs to be done. And then you can be on the Lord's right hand, ready to inherit heaven on the day of judgment. But while we're here, while there's work to be done, people need to know how to come to God and how to be obedient. If you will just follow God's simple plan, He will save you. God then will not have the occasion to ask, "Where art thou?" God's plan is relatively simple as to becoming a child of God. One must hear the word of God in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, we see that we must believe. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30 that we are also to repent. In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Having heard, believed, and repented, we are to confess. Not that we are sinners. The Bible has already put that very plainly. But that we are to profess or confess Jesus Christ. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And then we are to be baptized. Acts 2, 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Having heard, believed, repented, confessed, and having been baptized into Christ, a person becomes a child of God. At that point, and even before that point, you could not hide from God. But what we must do from that point forward is to live faithfully until death. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, we see the condition of those who did not. It said, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Those who are Christians, who find themselves marred in sin, who realize that they've been hiding from God, are separated from God. But God has not forsaken you. He tells us in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22 what a person is to do that is in that situation, to repent and pray. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Don't give God the occasion to ask the question, where art thou? If you need to respond to the invitation, won't you do so as together we stand and sing.